Welcome to the Nifty Gadgets for Family Bikers podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Harkin, a family biker in Washington, D.C., mom of two boys, and founder of the D.C. Family Biking Facebook group. Please enjoy the episode. Diana and I jumped right into our conversation about her bike. I should let everybody know that she rides a Yuba Mundo that she and her husband electrified. Enjoy the show.
I don't know the first thing about it. I just know that it makes the hills, which there are many in our neighborhood, feel flat. So, okay, it is not like you're riding on a motorcycle. I mean, you have to work, but it's just instead of making it feel like you're like pumping your way up a hill, it just feels like you're like biking on a beach cruiser down a flat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if yours is like mine. I have to be pedaling for the battery to for the motor to engage. Do you know if that's true?
Yeah, okay. So that is absolutely true. That is absolutely true, Nicole. But here's the thing. Because my kids are getting older. So I have four kids. I have a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 10-month-old. So because they're getting heavier, it's getting harder for me to start the bike. Like to, when I say start, I mean like get on and start pedaling.
Right.
Especially
right.
If I'm just like, they're just heavy. And so like, it feels like a little bit.
Yeah, that's like 200 pounds.
Yeah. No, it can feel a little bit.
Wait, do you actually ride with all four of them?
I have never ridden with all four of them, my own kids, but I have ridden with four kids on this.
Okay.
And so, because my baby has to be in the seat, which I don't have, attached right now, but we've got one of those Yep seats on the, mm-hmm. on the back, but it's not on right now. This bench is long enough that four little bodies can squeeze.
Yeah, I've taken four on mine too. Now,
they love it.
Oh my God.
But, what I was going to say was, so there is a little throttle button on the front. And if I punch that, it'll give the bike a little bit of like
a boost.
A start. Yeah. It'll okay. start. And that way I don't feel like I'm going to tip over before I can start pedaling.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Which is really the bottom line. We don't want to tip over.
No, especially when you have somebody else's kids on the bike. My own kids, it's like, whatever, they're fine.
But have you ever tipped?
Yeah. I mean,
everybody has. It's normal.
Yeah,
I've tipped.
We haven't been going fast and no one's been hurt. But the bike is so heavy that their little legs get like, they get hurt, you know? And so.
I had Oscar and a friend on and we were on Capitol Hill. And we like, it was that thing. We had like gone to a coffee shop and it was really cute. And we like went to get started and they were both in the Yep seats because I had two at the back at the time and it tipped. And so I'm standing there. I saved it. Right. So I'm standing there like kind of making a tripod out of the bike with the kids on it and my legs. And I'm standing there and this guy's looking at me. And finally I was like, could you help me, please?
Seriously, don't just stare. Just help me.
And so he did come over and help me. And then.
No, but these things are super heavy. The running boards or like the whatever these foot things are. And the.
Okay. Now your running boards are also special because you DIY'd those.
I feel like in some ways we spent a lot of money to look really janky. But anyway, yeah, we had a friend just cut this out of plywood.
I think they look awesome.
I mean, the bamboo ones are much more attractive.
Well, I think they're probably just lighter.
Yeah, these are really heavy. Oh no, this bike is so freaking heavy. But yeah, someday we'll get real ones.
Okay, so I can see that your motor is a Bafang. I don't know if that's the one my brother installed on his back in the day. So did it come with the feet cover or did you buy that extra?
Oh, that came like standard with the bike.
And then what about your basket?
Yeah, I think there are some baskets that people put on these bikes that attach to the frame. This one attaches to the front, forks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the front forks. And so it's, if it's full of groceries, it'll flop, yeah, which is annoying. But
well, you have the defloppinator, so.
Yeah, it doesn't work that well. Okay, so I wanted to just tell you a little bit more about our family biking in general.
Oh, yes, please.
So I'm sure you've seen our house. It's totally, like, our porch is completely covered in strollers and bike attachments, which is a little embarrassing. But like I mentioned, we have four kids.
Yeah, so. No, it's SOP, standard operating procedure.
Yeah, well, I'm from the South. Anyway, this is just how we do it down there. So we have I wrote it down because I can't remember always. We have an instep double stroller. No, sorry. An instep double trailer. So two kids can ride behind. And that has been really nice for the smaller kids. Like once they get like four, they they're just kind of too big for it. But
they don't want to do it.
No, but the little kids love it, and you just kind of drag that behind the bike. And we've used that. I mean, David and I both had, you know, the couplers on the back,
right,
on the back of our bikes, and we would like leave it at preschool, and then whoever dropped her off, the other person could pick her, right, up, and that was just like a great way to commute.
Now, I have seen people use that on the Yuba, and in fact, somebody is selling on Craigslist right now a sidecar.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we could put our whole family on,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you could put your whole family on there.
Six people on one baffing motor.
Let's do it. Oh
my
God.
So David and I do sometimes ride this bike to date night.
I love that.
When, if anybody here is not in Washington, D.C., which I'm sure some of your listeners are, there are a lot of places in D.C. that it is much faster to bike than to drive. Like, I would say if you're going somewhere that's like between 1 and 3 or 4 miles in Washington, you're generally faster biking.
Yeah, totally.
So, and then if you have to park sometimes, especially if you're going downtown, I mean, parking is so much money, and you're going to park so far away from where you're going, it's going to save you a ton of time just to bike and lock up in front of the theater or whatever you're doing. So anyway, so yeah, David and I sometimes ride through Brookland.
I love that. It's so cute. Now who drives?
David does, because we have this one really big hill in Brookland that he has to pump us up, and I also just like sitting on the back and waving at people.
I love it. I love it. Kind of like Princess Diana.
Yeah, totally. We have the trailer that has two kids, and then we also have one of those co-pilot third wheel.
Oh yeah.
We ride things, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And my kids like that. I mean, but that only lets you put one kid. But you know, if you're going on a long ride, that's a good one. And we've used. Let's see. We've used the Wii Ride for the DC bike ride, which is when they shut off a lot of the DC streets. And I mean, I think like maybe 10 miles of DC streets.
Yeah, yeah. It's really great. It's fun.
And then, you know, like everybody in DC and sort of the DC metro area comes and rides around the city on a Saturday or Sunday morning. So we've done that. And that's one of the bike rides where you'll just see every imaginable attachment and like setup imaginable, like known to man. And that's like really fun to see all the kids out there. And the kids like to just kind of like look around and look at the other kids and, you know, just like look at all the spandex or whatever. And let's see. Yeah, I think that might be all we have. Yeah, so we have one kid seat, one Mundo with the long tail. And then David and I both have bikes that have, you know, the cover attachment to both the Wii Ride and the Instep bike trailer. So, yeah, we have lots of...
You guys are like serious family bikers. I love it.
We have lots of ways to get around. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, can you tell me a little bit about your podcast?
Oh, yeah. So I have been working on a podcast called Zion's Suffragists. Mm-hmm. About the history of women's voting rights in Utah. Surprisingly, Utah is the very first place in America where women voted under an equal suffrage law. And because, you know, women had tried to vote before in the U.S.
Right, right, right.
Sometimes they would dress like men and try to vote. And there were some landholding women in New Jersey that were once allowed to vote, but that was revoked. So by like 1860, there were no places in America where women could vote. And then in 1870, women in Utah started voting. And then women in Wyoming started voting. And then slowly, slowly, voting rights moved from west to east. And the reason that I thought this was a story that was worth a podcast is because it also involves polygamy and theocracy and patriarchy and pretty much all of the great things that you need in a mix to be on the right side of history for all the wrong reasons.
That is awesome. I love it. And I've listened to the podcast. I have to say it's fabulous. So please go listen. Link in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Nicole.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, we're going to lock up this bike right now before it gets stolen.
Yes, we are. That's one of my PSAs. Always lock your bike. Always lock your bike.
Guys, I think I've started to consider having a bike stolen a part of the tax that you have to pay in D.C. because I think I've had over 10 bikes stolen since I've lived here. I mean, I moved here in 2003, but it's a lot of bikes.
I've only had one stolen. Well, it wasn't even mine. It was my husband's. Mine was too heavy to steal. All right. Take care.
Yes. Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Nifty Gadgets for Family Bikers. You can find links to the gadgets in our show notes or at the website www.niftygadgetsforfamilybikers.com. Please share the podcast with other bikers and review the podcast when you have a minute. See you soon.